Real estate is simply a game of supply and demand. If you were to strip back all of the metrics, that's what it comes down to. And what we're finding is the numbers that are coming out regarding supply is getting worse and worse every time it gets reported. And so when people think about whether this is the top of the market because property prices are so unaffordable, this is where they've got to come back to. You've obviously got to understand all the metrics involved, lead and lag data, but at the core of it, supply and demand is key. When you couple that with where consumer confidence is being at record lows, you're going to understand that we are so far from the top. That's why it's important you start realigning your expectations and mindset and stop getting advice about real estate from your uncle. If you're interested in what my thoughts are, definitely keep watching. Hey guys, my name is Ravi and welcome back to Personal Finance with Ravi Sharma. If you're new here, smash that subscribe button because I talk about real estate, cryptocurrency and financial freedom. I've just realized that at some point I'm going to become an uncle and hopefully I'm not giving that sort of rubbish advice to my nephews whenever that day comes. But if you want to avoid your own uncle and make your own decisions where financial freedom can actually be attainable today, then definitely go and book in the discovery call. I'll leave a link in the description below to our brand new website where you'll find so much more information about what we do and how we do it. Now, housing supply has crashed to a decade low. And let's find out what that actually means. The supply of new homes will crash to the lowest level in over a decade by 2026, worsening housing and rental affordability and leaving the federal government far short of its goal to build 1.2 million homes by mid-2029. Across capital cities, 79,000 new homes will be finished in 2026, a drop of 26% compared with last year due to planning bottlenecks, labor shortages, and soaring material costs. If you're wanting to live in a house and you want to live in a metro city, a capital city where there's high density living, then it's almost going to become impossible over the next couple of years. And this is why investing the right way can make such a big difference. How many people do you actually know that have bought a house 5 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, and their lifestyle hasn't dramatically changed? It's almost like they've just kept up. And now they're finding themselves with no choice. They only have the house they live in, and that's it. They have some savings, obviously their income's there with the salaries, but at the end of the day, they didn't feel materially rich. And that's why if you're to invest the right way and have the right structures in place, you can have best of both worlds, where you'll have the choice to be able to upgrade your home, build your dream home, or in fact, just go and continue rent vesting and then use the money from your investments to fund your lifestyle. I'm a big fan of buying apartments, but if you're interested in what my thoughts are around supply and demand when it comes to houses versus apartments, definitely go check out this video. It's very insightful around why one may perform better than the other, depending on the location. The slump, predicted by industry lobby group, the Urban Development Institute of Australia, in a new report, will ratchet up house prices and rents, both of which are already at record highs. Based on its forecasts, the industry will need to double its capacity and build an eye-watering 300,000 homes between 2026 and 2029 to meet the 1.2 million target. We know that's not going to get hit, and we also know that if 300,000 new homes actually come into effect in 2026, well then the 18.6-year cycle will be perfect because it will have predicted the next crash. You have a large amount of supply come in, and if the demand isn't there for it, we're screwed. But when I see numbers regarding the supply and how much infrastructure is coming relative to the amount of demand we have, this is why I start questioning if the 18.6-year cycle will actually play out here in Australia. As we know, it's based on Western economies and it's a rough guide. But we could be off by a couple of years. And if you think the peak is in 2026 and you simply don't purchase because you think the peak is there, well, what happens if the peak isn't till 2028? And that's a big concern I have when people look at a cycle and they say it's going to repeat every single time. Things change. And yes, cycles often rhyme, but to a large extent, we need to look at localized economies because there will still be growth and there will still be areas that you can continue building your wealth in. If Australia is facing a housing crisis now, then what it might be facing in a year's time may need a stronger adjective, said Colin Keane, who helped compile the report. Once again, governments fail to see the urgency in ensuring adequate levels of active supply and associated development capacity, he said. Westpac chief economist Lucy Ellis said the weakness in building construction had nothing to do with zoning and building approvals, but was due to a large backlog of properties that have been approved that are yet to be completed. Now, this is very important because the reason why these have been approved and not completed is because interest rates, pretty much what felt like overnight, went up by like 300%. And that is a key pivot in how people were actually being able to purchase and go ahead and proceed with building a home. In addition to all of that, you had obviously supply shortages overseas. And then you had all these builders that had fixed price contracts. So while their supply and cost of goods went through the roof, they couldn't increase the final cost to the customer. And that is why we've seen so many construction companies go under. So if you had a fixed fee contract, you pretty much had builders and construction companies go bust because they didn't want to build and they couldn't actually afford to build. And then if you had someone who had variable cost pricing, then you would have all those extra costs flow onto the client. But if the client is now faced with higher interest rates and their borrowing capacity reduces, they're unfortunately stuck as well, so nothing gets built. To compound everything, you then have councils with ridiculous planning, ridiculous departments that take so long for something that's so simple sometimes. And that then has a further backlog, which is why you can use today's data as a cheat sheet for what happens to property prices over the next 18 to 24 months at least. And every month we fall further behind with construction numbers and approval numbers, you can almost guarantee that supply will not be coming into the market anytime soon. Now again, this is very different compared to high density units and apartment blocks, because again, as I've said previously, they can go out, get an approval, put up 100 to 200 new homes in the same spot. But if you had to go get approvals and construction for 100 new homes, actual houses or dwellings, it's going to take so much longer to actually execute. There are a range of issues in the production and cost of production of housing at the moment, including the demand from the other parts of the construction sector, Dr. Ellis said. Barrenjoey chief economist Joe Masters said the 1.2 million target was aspirational. We've never been able to build that many homes, Ms. Masters said. And I came out on the channel when they had announced this and I was like, you've never built this many. Yet now, all of a sudden, during one of the toughest times, you're going to be able to just, what, blow all the records out of the water and build all these homes. Honestly, it did sound aspirational and almost ludicrous at the time. But again, I'm not a politician. I don't get involved in that stuff. I stay in my lane. And my lane is wearing a black t-shirt, talking to you guys on YouTube. Now, to a certain extent, the housing crisis may have been avoided if we didn't have so much immigration come into the country. Now, let me explain. If you simply have supply drop and you don't have anyone being able to build anything, that's the natural market forces playing out. Because on the flip side, you also didn't have that many people wanting to buy a home because they simply couldn't afford a home. So you had people just going, well, I have to rent something. And even when it came to renting, the rental crisis wouldn't have been that bad if you didn't have so many immigrants come into the country. Now, on the flip side to all of this, you needed the immigrants to come into the country. Otherwise, the economy right now would be up shit creek. I don't know how to put this more eloquently, because the reality is that is the only reason we've really avoided a recession here in Australia. If you think about the per capita recession, we're already in one and we've been in one for months and months, which doesn't really get spoken about because the official recession number is still positive. So when you look at a graph like this, annual population growth versus dwelling growth, in the blue, we have dwelling growth. In the black, we have population growth, and then in the red is dwelling to population ratio. And what we can find is that it's all been sort of okay for the last 10, 15 years until we got to like post-2020, where everything has just been volatile. What you've seen is a massive rise in the red, which is the dwelling to population ratio, during the time home builder packages were introduced, and that came straight back down. And that's pretty much at record lows now. When you compare that to the actual black line, which is population growth, we saw it completely drop off because, again, we had the shutdowns. And now we opened up the borders and we've had so much population growth off the back of immigration coming in. And you could also go and argue that, yes, immigrants coming into the country have helped the construction industry because they can come in and help with the labor shortages we also experience. But the reality is there's so much more demand in the space relative to what's being actually built. After reviewing everything that I can when it comes to researching for a video like this, I've come to the conclusion that nothing can really be fixed overnight. A lot of this takes time, and that's why real estate is something that people invest in, because they say, well, it's a long-term game, but it also moves super slowly. And that is actually key to building wealth long-term, because people like you and I, we invest with emotions. And unfortunately, with emotions and the volatility that can come in certain markets, we often make the wrong move. Think about crypto, for example. You simply go in and buy, and then it drops by 30% overnight, and you're like, I'm gonna sell because it's pretty much going to zero, only to then have it followed to go up by 300%, which at that point you're like, well, it's probably gonna go up by 1,000%, so let me buy again, and then it drops again by 30%, and now you're completely wrecked. That's not what you see in real estate. And that's why so many rich people park their money from their businesses or high incomes into real estate. Because they can say, well, I don't mind if it drops by 3% this year, because next year it might grow by 5%. And overall, the trend is your friend until the very end. And that trend points to one way, which is going up. And when you see the numbers that are coming through with supply and understanding that interest rates are probably going to be lower this time next year, you can understand where the demand on the sidelines is just waiting. And when they come in and you see that supply is not there, we can only see one thing happen. I would take caution to just listening to this 18.6 year cycle theory, which has obviously gained a lot of popularity. It could still well and truly play out, but I'm skeptical, especially when I see numbers like this, and it's almost like a cheat sheet into knowing where prices will be over the next 3 years. I hope you guys have taken some value from this video. If you have, share it with someone because they should also get the value. And if you've enjoyed this, smash that like button and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Thanks guys.